Okay, good afternoon. I guess that as an architect, my contribution to this conference is to try to address the potentials, the possibilities that the integration between urban transportation systems and urban structures may provide in the light of the recent developments. Buildings have been traditionally designed to contain static populations, static activities, but as capitalism evolves towards what has been described as the regime of flexible accumulation, the amount of people that are engaged in this kind of activity is increasingly large. Obviously, as an architectural problem, is a question that we need to to try to address as architects or urban designers. Presentation is not going to give you, unfortunately, a definitive answer because the question is far too complex to do so here. But I hope to, by showing certain examples, address or describe certain tendencies or certain potentials that I believe could help to integrate this increasing demand into our cities and our transportation systems. Some precedents from the early age of transportation, urban transportation systems. Stations used to be gates, used to be big lumps of technical equipment inserted in the cores of the city that were sometimes dressed with the core. That was, in a way, the way in which the first attempts to deal with these objects, with these urban objects, happen. Sometimes, like in the case of the underground in Moscow, to a kind of ridiculous extent, this application of the core onto the transportation system. Sometimes, in more recent times, trying to make or to elaborate a certain phenomenology of flow, of movement, as the trace, the representation of these infrastructures. One of the main questions that this type of spaces of transportation is whether they remain attached to the traditional forms of urban phenomenology, whether they are some kind of application of the system, of the urban system, or on the contrary, they need to rely on an entirely different approach, an approach that has to do much more with topology, with connecting points, with adjacencies, etc., etc. So these are some of the questions that I'm going to try to address with two examples or three examples that I have direct experience from. One of them is the case of the Yamanote Line in Tokyo. I was surprised to see that one of the previous presentations described Tokyo as one of the most efficient transportation systems. And what is interesting about the case of Tokyo was that the Yamanote Line was built in the post-war as a way of connecting a number of cores of transportation that basically formed the main structure of the city and that were actually used to link by the Keiretsu, which were private companies that own vast stretches of suburban land in the periphery of the city and that would build systematically the train line, the station, would develop the land, the suburban land, and will also provide build a high density commercial center in each one of these centers. These were the effects that these centers had in the city. This is the case of land value around one of these stations, and this is the effect that they produce in the fabric of the city. That was Shinjuku, this is Ikebukuro, this is Shinagawa. And I am going to focus on the one that I think is more revealing, which is Shibuya. Shibuya is one of these cores along the Yamanote line, and you can see that there is no longer this differentiation between the station and the city. The city has literally swallowed the transportation system, and the commuters have swallowed also the public space. You can see how the structure of the city is in this area. Around the stations, there is the first core of commercial department, high-density department stores that then grow a full fabric, a full tissue of other retail outlets that basically produce the critical mass that characterizes Shibuya. And these are the kind of spaces that commuters and users of the city encounter. They are spaces that don't have a kind of recognizable form. They tend to be this kind of topologies that are connecting all these different services, and that spread literally as a kind of spider web through the neighboring fabric of the city, often connecting with literally with the department stores that are surrounding the station. You can see how the city becomes truly three-dimensional. The points where the transportation systems are located are basically part of the section of the city. You see also how this spider web of underground passages and department stores become interconnected on different levels of the city, and this is basically how these spaces look on the ground, where commercial facilities are mixed with the corridors of interchange between the different railway lines. The escalators of the department store become also part of this exchange system, and they also provide, I think, architecturally or urbanistically speaking, a number of opportunities to generate new programs, such as fast food outlets, cinemas, and what is called, particularly in Shibuya, love hotels, which are hotels that basically can have temporary occupation. So the effect of this high-density course occurs then on two levels. One, on the physical level, on the fact that the city becomes truly three-dimensional, and also on the fact that there are a wealth of new adjacencies, of new situations, of new schedules of use that characterize these environments. Another example that I think is very interesting is the case of the Seoul underground system, which is, I brought one case, which is the Eulgiro shopping mall that stretches across 3 miles between the City Hall station and the Dongdaemun market. And basically what happens with or the way this shopping mall occurred was by the fact that once you dig out the ground in order to build the infrastructure, this possibility of stacking one floor of city in between the street and the underground tunnel appears. And that becomes, in this case, this is the shopping mall. You can see basically the length of it is 3 kilometers. And it looks Sorry about the quality. It looks like that is the entrance, one of the entrances to it. And these are the kind of spaces that you can find in that shopping mall. There is also spaces for work, for kind of temporary work. The interior looks very much like in Japan. So people are literally walking on top of the underground station. You can buy art also. You can go to the cinema, and you can even go to an aquarium inside of the mall. And going back to the old Europe, where obviously there is a very well structured and very very well established typology, which is the station. And that is now systematically subverted and transformed by the new train technologies, but by the fact that trains don't require any longer a large overhead space for the fumes. So also in Europe, the problem is that structure is retrofitted into the structure of the city, and it means obviously that the underground, which is a very un-European type of public space, is becoming suddenly very important. You can see also that these stations are looking more like airports, where the machines are entirely separated from the spaces of the public, and obviously this is the new European public space that is chosen by terrorists to attack. Several things are happening with these spaces. Sometimes they are becoming plazas, railroad yards are becoming urban plazas. Sometimes all stations are becoming these conservatoria, these places for leisure, or this extra space that they used to have become stuck also with commercial facilities. This is a kind of own. I couldn't resist to put one of our own experimentations, which is how to turn one of these circulation diagrams into a building, into a topography, therefore trying to bridge this gap between a topological structure and a physical structure, and also a building that becomes a public transportation building that becomes a public space on the top. And so against this idea of merging transportation and city, I think that this is an example of what I believe is an outdated mode, a kind of a return to the I brought it as a kind of polemical end to the presentation, because we are in New York and this is happening in New York, but obviously this is a kind of return to the idea that the transportation terminal is an object, is not connected to the social tissue, to the commercial tissue, is again an aseptic monument, and I think perhaps a missed opportunity to explore some of what I believe are more contemporary forms of transportation space. Thank you very much.